Yeah, so this is Podcast Dex, and I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. Unfortunately, I am still reviewing Howard the Duck Volume 2, Issue 1. Fortunately, since this is the last story in the magazine, this is the last part of the review. So, yeah, lots of stuff happens. The end. Yeah, I didn't think I'd get away with that either, but okay. This story is called From Hell It Cometh, Chair Thing. Okay, Howard the cabbie is in front of... Holy fuck, who inked this? Oh my god. Yeah, anyway, Howard the cabbie is in front of this department store. He dropped Bev off there. I'm confused now because she's a nude artist's model, and why would she be working? You know what? Okay, whatever. Oh, never mind. It says hours after having dropped Bev off at her job. Yeah, now he's doing his cabbie work. Oh, well, okay then. You can tell I'm trying to avoid even having to read more of this than I absolutely have to. But as to my reaction there, they got this guy Dave Simons to ink Colin in this story, and it's like all he did was maybe trace some of the pencils, because it's a horrible mismatch of styles here. And did anybody edit this thing? I mean, seriously, jeez. Yeah, what a shame, because I'm sure Colin's pencils looked really good. This guy just... Whew. Oh, well, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah, anyway, above Howard in his cab is... You all already know Bill Mantlo, having written this, this is garbage anyway, so you would expect this, is a giant cash register. Yes, a giant cash register with, like airplane wings flying around. And at this point, after so much Mantlo shit in this magazine, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Oh, okay, at least we have here as... I didn't notice before the giant cash register was in Howard's, like... rear view mirror here. That's almost funny that he's not even looking at that. He's just busy being depressed and miserable, and he's like, ugh, I don't believe I gotta work. This is bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, this guy comes up and he's like, say, cabbie, did you know? You know, he's gonna say there's a giant cash register in the sky, and he's like, yeah, you're a duck! So, yeah, what page is this here? It only took till page 45 of the magazine, finally, for somebody to exclaim, you're a duck, at Howard. So, yeah, it's about fucking time. Oh, his response, by the way, is, and you're a lout, so we're even. Bug off. Okay, whatever. And oh look, it is Pro Rata, the cosmic accountant, whose appearance they've been foreshadowing through the whole book. Or as he refers to himself, Pro Rata, the financial wizard whom men call mad. Yeah, let me try that. Trenchcoat Mafia, the podcaster whom men call mad. Yeah, that does work. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. Pro Rata seemed pretty sane in the first two stories in this magazine, but, you know, I guess if he's on the scene for more than one panel, he starts acting whacked out. Who knows? Whatever. Lousy villain. Oh, he looks stupid, too. He's just, like, in this cloak with stars on it, and it's like, well, you guys didn't even try, did you? What the f... You know what? Clearly, Dave Simons, the anchor, must have felt he was being underpaid, because if anybody has this on page 46, panel 4, okay, look at that. Like it looks like he inked that in like less than a minute. What the fuck? And this thing supposedly had an editor. Okay. Yeah, no shadows, no added detail, no nothing. It's like, and they paid you for this. And Gene Colan especially. He's an artist who's got to have a competent anchor. I mean, this guy they must have just hired off the street. Oh, anyway, Pro Rata has his giant cash register slam into Howard's cab and then fly off. Okay, whatever. And some other car gets smashed too, and the dude driving that one. Yeah, he's some big dude wearing a hard hat, and of course, true to the obvious stereotype of, well, that he looks like, even. He's about to punch the shit out of Howard, blaming him. And at least Howard does try to defend himself. He's like, don't look at me. The guy who hit us drove a cash register. And, you know, the football fan-looking dude is like, oh, a wise guy, huh? And then, because Bill Mantlow is clearly just making this up as he's going along, out of nowhere, oh, look, it is Howard's old enemy, the kidney lady. Yeah. And Pro Rata's like, oh, hey, this bitch is gonna fuck with Howard. Okay, I'll just take off and deal with what's left of him after she's done. Which makes a lot of sense. Not, but whatever. Even the muscle dude's backing off. He's contenting himself with starting to trash Howard's cab here, just ripping one of his wheels off his cab. And Mantlow clearly has a high opinion of the unwashed masses, as they're all just standing around talking about whether they should get involved, as if that would ever actually happen. But yeah, okay. You know, anything goes on, everybody just sort of stands back and watches. Because who the fuck is going to get involved? Because you never know when somebody's got a gun. Or maybe I'm just thinking like a Philadelphia resident in 2010. But I doubt Cleveland in 79 was much different. Oh, anyway, instead of like even thinking about attacking the dude ripping up his car, Howard just gratuitously attacks the kidney lady. Then again, she is so hideous, you know, just on general principle, you can't exactly blame him. And here we have a scene where one of the onlookers is actually Arthur Winslow, the space turnip, which harkens all the way back to issue 2 of Howard's old series. And it's like, yeah, you know what, I have to admit, Mantlow can't really win because I hate all of the characters he makes up. But then again, I hate that he's trying to bring back everybody and everything that's ever had anything to do with Howard before. Then again, he's a complete waste of talent in that he never did have any in the first place. And as we all know, now he's just a complete waste of life as he lies in his coma mumbling to himself. Or, oh wait, he's out of his coma. Okay, as he lays in whatever semi-brain dead state that he's in, I'm just saying why we don't just kill people like that instead of letting them, letting my tax dollars be spent on them. I have no idea, just saying. And on this page here, I do like this totally gratuitous shot of this young girl. When I say young, I mean like 20. And she's like, she's bent over as if she's letting the invisible man fuck her in her ass. And she's got her mouth open like she's fucking, well, like she's sucking a second invisible man's dick. And I'm just looking at this like, you know what? Gene Colan was just fucking bored at this point. And he's just drawing whatever the fuck he wants to draw. And I support that. Good for him. Oh, look, the cop that Howard met in his very first solo story shows up, not to arrest any of the bad guys here or do anything he should be doing, but to slap a pair of handcuffs on Howard, because apparently Howard indirectly got him demoted as a cop, and, well, he's an asshole. So, yeah. Okay, well, that's believable anyway. Okay, Howard is now being pursued by dogs, if you could hear those dogs in the background. Because, you know, you gotta love people who, you know, they choose to be dog owners. And they just, by the way, no, Howard is not actually being pursued by dogs in the story. Yeah, fuck all dog owners except Courtney. Because why the fuck do people go and get dogs, and they all do this, and then just put them out in their yard all day, every day, to bark, 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 bark. What is the point of that? I really don't get it. But many of the ways of white trash are indeed a mystery. Oh, by the way, when we saw this cop dude before, way back when, he was not an asshole. This is just Mantlow creating some fake bullshit drama for whatever reason. I do like that it turns out that the guy Howard was driving in his cab is like some rich guy who basically says, nah, cop dude. It was like this old lady, the kidney lady, and the construction worker looking dude. Like, they started all of this, and the cop lets Howard go, and I do like that Howard's just smirking at him, and yes, Gene Colan is so good, he can draw a duck smirk. And the cop tells him, you're free. Howard's like, kinda sticks in your crawl, though, don't it? Good for you, Howard. Of course, a Philly cop would have just smacked him in the face with a nightstick, but what are you gonna do? Yeah, so the dude who got him off the hook, his name is, where's the part where they give his name? Mr. Digitalis. I guess that's supposed to be funny or clever somehow. I have no idea how, nor do I care. Although they're back at Howard's garage, where I guess he keeps his cab. And I do like this one panel here, where the rich dude's, like, secretary, I guess? Who the fuck knows? Yeah, that he travels with. She's just basically posing here and looking like she totally wants somebody to just take her. Oh, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, it turns out that he wanted to talk to Howard anyway because he's... Okay, I'll quote him. I am a master of the epic, the extravaganza. The low-budget disaster film. I have to admit, I kind of like that idea. I mean, disaster films were, like, stupid in the first place. I mean, but a disaster film made on the cheap? Okay, that could be funny unintentionally. Yeah, he's like, surely you have seen my movies. And he cites Towering... Barn Fire. Okay. And a couple other fake movies here that, basically it's Bill Mantlo. What do you expect? That was the only really funny one, but hey. And Howard's like, okay, fuck you. No. He says, sorry, not interested. So, of course, Beverly basically talks him into it. And I must say, Beverly is looking very nice here in this, like, farmer's daughter type dress she's got on. And yes, I know she's a fictional character. Where's the pity? Yeah, so Beverly talks him into it, and that seems to be her superpower, being able to talk Howard into anything. I guess they follow up on this movie stuff in the next issue or whatever, because this story left so, like, no impression. I don't remember there being anything else about that plot thread in this story. I do like this one gag here. Bev's like, why did he pick you? And Howard's like, oh, it was his accountant's idea. Something about saving money on costumes by hiring a short actor. Because, okay, that does make sense, because you figure Howard would do his shopping in, like, the children's section, being what they say he was, 2'7" or whatever, so. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Wee-wee. Wee-wee. to St. Elmo's.
We learned that Beverly has rented the top floor of this house, which is, I assume, intentionally unimpressive looking. And Bev's talking about the landlady she dealt with. And this landlady, well, Bev had to tell her that Howard doesn't smoke in order to get the place. Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine like somebody being so. I mean, okay, I don't smoke and I don't like being around cigarette smoke, but I can't imagine somebody being so fanatically anti-smoking that they've got a place to rent and make money on, and if somebody happens to smoke, they don't rent to them. But come to find out that the landlady actually later had a sex change operation and changed her name to Joe Quesada. So now that I know who's behind this, it all makes sense. Oh, look, the landlady is actually there, and it turns out that she is the kidney lady, who apparently the cops didn't hold very long, because here she is. And she's made the construction guy her sidekick. Yeah. Okay. If I wasn't disgusted before, she hurls Howard into not a chair, but the dreaded monster in this story, the chair thing, which is, as Howard reacts disbelievingly, a living chair? Yeah, sure enough. Oh, look, he's talking. What's the chair thing saying here? He must have something interesting to... Oh. He's just saying, snort. Okay. Apparently the chair thing has all the intelligence of a chair. Okay, and here's the exact moment where the kidney lady jumps the shark as a Howard nemesis. it turns out that actually she's a witch. Yes, a witch. Yeah. This crazy lady who for the whole run of Howard series was just a crazy lady, is now and apparently has always been a witch. And there's a book about her called The Human Kidney, Seat of the Soul. Okay, that's almost funny. But, yeah, she's, like, showing it to Howard and letting him read for himself that she does indeed claim to be a witch. And her magic is so powerful. We see in flashback, she was able to see when Howard came into our dimension. And in an effort to create a weapon to destroy Howard, who, after all, being a duck, is clearly out to steal everyone's kidneys, which is a line of thinking that I guess wouldn't make sense to the kidney lady. Oh, where the fuck was I? Oh, yeah, kidney lady is, like, doing the witch thing and, like, boiling shit in a kettle, and she throws a chair into the kettle, and it turns into the chair thing, and I have to wonder what drugs Mantlo was on when he was writing this, but okay. Yeah, the idea, I guess, being that this chair thing she has created will destroy Howard, who, after all, is clearly out to steal everyone's kidneys. Ooh, I do like this one scene here where Kidney Lady just slaps Beverly in the face, and she cries out, Howard! Oh, yeah, she's got a good rant, too. Next, disciple, we teach this slut what it means to defy convention, to endanger the purity of the kidneys god. The kidneys god? Okay. Oh, I see, to endanger the purity of the kidneys God gave her. Oh, okay. By shacking up with a duck! And then there's a big slap sound effect as she slaps Bev in the face, and Bev is crying out in pain, and she looks really fucking sexy there. Mm. At which point I have to remind myself that she is not an actual person, and yeah. Oh, as far as, I forgot to mention this, as far as explaining why Bev didn't recognize the kidney lady, quote, it was dark, unquote. So, yeah, that's Mantlo not even trying to explain shit, so fuck him. And yeah, what's not wrong about the idea of Kidney Lady being a witch? That is just stupid on every possible level. And chair thing. Yeah, Mantlo wasn't even trying at that point. This is right about where we get the problem of a monster that can't actually move or really do anything. Howard's cigar has set the chair thing on fire. I mean, after all, what the hell is the chair thing going to actually do? Yeah, it's on fire, and Howard's free of the chair thing's evil grasp. And I do like that he immediately commences to smacking down the kidney lady. I mean, as far as the construction worker dude, like, Bev hit him with something and broke his shin. So he's just hopping around in pain. And he falls out the window here anyway, presumably to his death. Haha. And, yeah, Mantlo just doesn't know how to... You know, sometimes he does know how to be funny, and sometimes he doesn't. Because Howard, on the kidney lady's shoulders, just hitting her over in the head over and over with this hardback book to the sounds of thump, thump, thump. Yeah, that's funny, but in the same panel, we have the chair thing on fire saying, ouch. Pain. First degree burns. That's not funny. Now, you know what is funny is Bill Mantlo's current level of health. Yeah, I had to get that one in there. Yeah, at this point, I'm sort of asking myself, is this over yet? But then, hey, hold everything. We've got a panel here that, okay, if this panel had a caption, it would be, in fact, I'll just give it a caption. Beverly's tits. Just look at them. look at her holding Howard as he is staring at those luscious mounds. God damn. Okay, there. Anyway. Okay, so Kidney Lady puts out the chair things being on fire by throwing a bucket of water on it, at which point it, of course, turns back into a normal chair. Because why the fuck not? Like I said, Mantla was making this shit up as he was going along. In fact, speaking of that, the Kidney Lady, who after all is a witch now, teleports away in a puff of smoke, which of course is the exact moment when the Wester and Paul Same finally show up and, they see what's happened. They caught the end of it and they're like, things are pretty much the way they've always been, huh? Well, again, I'm making up my own dialogue, but in any Bill Mantlo story, you sort of have to make it any kind of entertaining. I do like this here that at least Howard is like, I guess things worked out okay. Now we ain't got no landlady to enforce her no smoking rules, he's saying as he's lighting his cigar. And I do like that because, in effect, that's Howard saying, Joe Quesada, fuck you. Oh, by the way, yeah, I totally made up that the Kidney Lady had a sex change and is now Joe Quesada. Although, I have no actual evidence that Mr. Quesada was not, in fact, born of the female gender and is just passing as a guy now. I mean, he already proved he doesn't have any balls because he's like, oh, well, my superiors would like me to ruin Spider-Man and make him a kid again and do away with him being married to Mary Jane. So I will do that. So it's like, yeah. I just can't mention Quesada without trashing him for that because goddamn. Okay, best page of the book. Beverly and Howard are getting ready to go to bed. They, of course, sleep in the same bed. And Colin gave Beverly some really little panties here. And you can see like half of her ass in that as she's removing her farmer's daughter dress. And clearly she was not wearing a bra. And Howard's got a big smile on his face as he's putting his cigar out, because it is fucking time. Now, Gerber, of course, working under the comics code, was never able to show a Howard and Bev fuck scene. And Howard here, now that anything goes, basically. Howard's like, you know, there were a lot of folks who'd think that what we've got going on is, well, kinda unnatural. And Beverly responds correctly by saying, hush, ducky. Just for once, shut up and kiss me, huh? Okay, perfect response. And by the way, in this scene, too, we are like, Beverly is naked, and Howard is getting ready to have perverse, sick, duck-human sex. Okay, cool. And, he has words in a word balloon, but it's pretty hard to ignore Bev's tits in this panel because, when was she introduced? 1976, maybe? So, like, it's literally been years that they've been teasing us by not showing us Bev naked, so it's about time. I do hate this panel that follows where Howard is turning the light off. And he's looking right at me, the reader, me, Trenchcoat Mafia. And Howard is saying, well, what are you looking at? I've got to have some private life, don't I? Okay, yes, Howard, you got to have some private life. What you don't got to have is any scene where you are talking to the reader. Stop breaking the fourth wall. That is bad writing. Who the fuck is writing you? Bill Mantlo? Oh, right. Yeah, I should have expected that, huh? We're not privy to the actual fucking since Howard turned the lamp off. Although Steve Gerber did react to this scene Mantlo wrote, saying that if he was going to have a Howard and Bev fuck scene, he would find the most perverse, outrageous position that you could put a woman and a midget in, and that's how they would fuck. So I guess we missed out on that. because Mantler doesn't have that kind of imagination. But afterwards here, we do see Howard smoking his post-sex cigar as Beverly's like, "Oh, Howard." And you can see just by the look at her face, he gave it to her good. So good for you, Howard. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, it turns out Pro Rata has been watching all of this because he's a sick fuck in his crystal ball or whatever. And he's like, "Mwahaha," or whatever he's saying here. And the caption says, "Pro Rata sees all, knows all, and ends all." For this issue, anyway. Okay, don't remind me in the fucking captions that I'm reading a comic. Why the fuck would any writer want to take the reader out of the story? And this is two times in three panels Mantlow has done this. I mean, ugh. Oh, well. Oh, a preview of the next issue that I'm so thrilled I will not be reviewing. Okay, I'll ignore that ad in the back of the book. Here's an ad for Weird World, which was a lot of bullshit. You know, elves and fantasy and all that. And it's like, oh, so you guys want to be ElfQuest when you grow up. Oh, that's cute. An ad for the Tomb of Dracula magazine, which I never read and I have no interest in, because even though it was by Wolfman and Colin, it's like, no, the comic ended so perfectly, you know. They should have just rested the property for a few years, but yeah, as if Marvel knows what the fuck they're doing. Well, this is actually kind of funny here, an ad for the Comics Journal. Given that the Comics Journal and Jim Shooter slash Marvel would become mortal enemies basically shortly after this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so in conclusion, fuck you, Marvel, for doing this to Steve Gerber. Bad enough you fired him, you at least could have shown him the respect of not pissing all over what he created. And, yeah, Bill Mantlow, well, you already got what you deserved.